Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Doug McIsaac and George Lane with Online for Offline, and we're talking about supercharging your online marketing. Unfortunately, we have not been able to get a hold of our expert interviewer today, Jim Kukral, but we, George and I decided that's, in a lot of ways, that's good. We're able to talk about the current economy and how you need to be doing your marketing in a times like this, in uncertain economic times, how you need to handle your marketing going forward. George has a believes that most businesses market at 10% on all the time, and you know, unfortunately, during times like this, they tend to even cut that 10% down. So we're going to talk a little bit about how you need to ratchet up your marketing during these uncertain times, and you'll end up just making a killing. You got to get smarter about your spend, and we'll talk some details about how you can do that. A quick kind of an outline of how we feel you need to do it is you need to start with getting an understanding of what marketing is working for you. So you need to start tracking everything that you do. You need to put tracking mechanisms in place. Now, obviously, with online marketing, tracking is much easier than with offline marketing. That's one of the strengths of online marketing. We're literally able to know down to what keyword people have come in from, and we can track that all the way through to a sale. That's one of the things we enjoy about online marketing, and I'm an absolute stat junkie, so I love tracking all those things. But by doing that, you understand where your dollars are coming from and where you want to increase your dollars. Now, George, do you want to kind of expand upon, do you want to talk a little bit about tracking before we dive deeper into this? Some of your thoughts on?
Yeah, sure. Well, there's that famous quote that goes something along the lines of, I know that half of my advertising is working if only I knew which half. And this is what really hits home in online marketing and offline marketing in these sorts of economic times, when people want to cut back on advertising, but they are terrified that if they cut back, they'll lose all their new customers that are coming in. So one big takeaway from this call, quite early on, is if you do insist on cutting back on your marketing or advertising, which I don't recommend, but if you do, make sure you only cut back on the things that aren't working. So there's a very simple exercise that I always tell new clients to do, and that is each time a lead or an inquiry or a sale comes in, just have a sheet of paper each day, or just stick it in your journal or whatever you do, but just write down the source of every inquiry into your business. And then at the end of the week or end of a month, total all of those up and work out where your business is coming from. It's such a simple exercise, but most businesses, I would probably say 90% of small and medium businesses, aren't doing this properly. They've probably got a rough idea. They can probably just kind of give you an estimate as to where business is coming from, but they can't say for sure. And so once you have this list of all the streams of customers coming into your business, you've now identified those ones that are working, actually are making money, and the ones that aren't, cut the ones that aren't actually bringing customers in. So for example, if you run out in a newspaper and you know you've just bought 4 weeks advertising, for example, and not one call has come from the newspaper, you know to stop that advertising because it's not effective. And then the parts of advertising that are effective, say for example, I don't know, read your blog or maybe from Twitter or something like that, is really working, start to ramp that up more and just spend more money on that than on your least effective advertising. So that's one takeaway to start with. There's going to be a few more on this call, because I feel a lot of businesses are really not doing the basics, and actually doing the basics in these sorts of times can really pull a business through. Doug, have you got any thoughts on that?
Oh, certainly. That's what, you know, it all comes down to different ways you can track. One of the things that we've done in the past and works really well for offline marketing is having people contact and ask for, you know, gym when you don't have a gym that works there. And you know that came from the phone book, or you know that what ad that came from. You use a person's name or a department number to help track as well. That's another way you can do that. We should be, Jim just contacted me. He should be joining us here in just a minute. But let's kind of continue on this. Let's continue on this track until we're able to get him on. But that's what we've done in the past. Is anyone that's ordered out of a classified ad has seen, you know, send in to department, you know, department 12. You know, that's all they've been. They do that for tracking purposes, and that's a. Even small businesses can do that with their advertising. Yeah. You can either do it by asking for a name or asking for a department. That's another way you can track your offline business, offline advertising.
Yeah, there's so much you can do. There's so much. Just very briefly before we get Jim on the phone, I just want to reassure everybody on the call that. There are lots and lots of businesses out there that are doing very, very well. I have a client who is doing £27,000 a week in business, and his business is only 3 months old, and they only advertise on Google AdWords, and this is a real business. It's not some sort of info product. It's a proper business, and I've got lots and lots of clients who are doing similar sorts of figures to this, and so it just goes to show if you are marketing properly.
I'm going to bring Jim in on the call here.
Okay, cool.
Okay, Jim, this is Doug and George. We apologize for the mix-up there, but I assume that is Jim I just pulled in on the call?
I'm here.
All right, Jim. I apologize for the mix-up. We were just talking about how the marketing in these crazy economic times and how you need to ramp up your marketing now rather than crank it down.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, there are so many people right now who are losing their jobs or who are losing their mortgages and are in financial trouble. And, you know, now is the time when you need to go out and start to make your own way. Now is the time when, you're almost being forced into it. I mean, if you're gonna go out there and try to do it on your own, you should try and do it now when, you know, you don't have much of another choice, right?
Right. Definitely.
It's like forced entrepreneurism.
there's a lot of people out there that are going to be in the middle of that. I think that as things crank down, they're going to have to learn new ways to do it on their own, which I think that makes us stronger in the long run, figuring out ways to do things in the lean times like this, make businesses and people stronger going forward.
Absolutely.
But now, just a quick introduction here, Jim. We apologize for getting you on here late. But as I said in the meeting announcement, Jim, I was really impressed checking out finding Jim and his website and the online video toolkit that you have available for free. That was a lot of fun. Actually, you taking the camera and showing people what equipment they need to purchase and what lights they need to purchase to get their video set up at home. So that they can do their video blogging. I thought that was great. I've actually sent a couple of my clients to that already.
Great, thank you.
Kind of have. You're welcome. Yeah, it's. I think it's really nice that you have that available for free. And now you've been online since 2000, 2001, something like that?
Actually, I started doing this whole internet thing about 1996. So.
Oh man.
Yeah, so I'm one of the old internet geeks in terms of, you know, not the real old ones like Dave Weiner, but in terms of business and stuff.
Wow, that's a long time. I really appreciated reading one of your posts where you're talking about how you're one of the first people to actually sell, you know, how to make money with your blog products.
I wrote an e-book called Blogs to Riches, like, you know, was it like 4 years ago now or 5 years or whatever. It was a long time ago, and I remember writing that ebook, and this was still when people were writing blogs because they thought it was art, you know. So I was getting hate mail every day, email saying, blogs aren't made for business. This is wrong what you're doing. It's very similar to what you're seeing with social media now. Everyone's saying social media isn't made for marketing. You know, all this stuff is, every time something new comes out, all the purists who got it in the beginning say, this stuff wasn't made for marketing and you shouldn't use it for business. And it's the same story over and over again. All of this stuff is built so that you can use it for marketing. You can use it for business if you use it the right way.
Right. Well, and that's really what drives the dollars behind it. I mean, that's what drives the dollars behind social media, is that there's going to be some money to be made along the way, or else you wouldn't be putting the money into it. There was what was the latest one I just saw? Z Vents just got $24 million for doing local event planning, or being able to send notices out to people on their phones about events that are going on locally. It's just crazy how much. Yeah, it's going to be a neat service. It's interesting to see just how many dollars are rolling into these spaces to here. Even during, you know, it's like the same day that the $700 billion buyout gets voted down, you know, this company is raising $24 million. You know, this, our online space is just going to grow. I mean, it's needed. It's some of your most cost-effective marketing. It's marketing that's trackable. I mean, that's why we need to just focus more and more of our dollars online. I'm doing a lot of work with local businesses that are trying to expand their marketing online, and trying to expand their customer base online as well. And it's been, you know, right now, I mean, George has got some great stories as well of our local companies that are just growing like crazy because they're reaching out a little bit further and they're being smarter than their competitors are, which is really kind of. Really, the neat thing about what we're able to do with our online marketing.
Sure. Yeah.
We kind of digressed a little earlier, but let's. Is there anything you'd like to tell our listeners about your background, Jim? I mean, besides, you know, you've been around for longer than any of the rest of us have online.
You know, I started as a web designer. I started doing when I first day on the job in '95. I think they handed me a book that said learn HTML, and this was before tables existed in HTML. So it was, you know, when you had those linear old designs where it was like a logo and then the copy straight down the page, right? You couldn't even do two columns, right? So I really, you know, and then about 2000, I got to the point where I was like, well, I can actually start doing marketing online instead of just designing web pages. So I got out of the web design business and the web building business, and I got into the marketing business. So I've kind of experienced it from all ends. I've worked for mom-and-pop shops. I've worked for publicly traded companies. And probably one of the biggest things I'm most proud of is working as a marketing and branding person with companies and taking thousands and thousands of sales calls with salespeople, because that's taught me how to overcome objections. It's taught me what people are looking for, how they search online, how to sell online. And if you want to be successful, you know, online these days, you've got to be a salesman. Marketing is the ultimate sales tool, and you know, you have to be able to sell if it's yourself or a product or service. You can't just throw it on the page and say, here it is, from e-commerce all the way to consulting services. You have to be able to sell yourself, and if you're not willing to sell, then you're not really going to be that successful online. So you got to get into that seller's mentality and think about what the customer or the reader or the viewer or whoever is looking for and give them what they want.
Right. It's definitely not build it and they will come anymore. I mean, 10 years ago you put a website up, somebody found you, they signed up for your newsletter or, you know, just because it was unique and new, and even 5 years ago. But now there's a lot more competition out there and there's so much coming at us online and offline, really. So that we need to make ourselves, set ourselves apart and, you know, let people know what's unique about us, what our unique selling proposition is for them.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You know, it was funny, when we were preparing for this call, one of my biggest difficulties with you, Jim, is because there's so many different directions we could go with a call. You know, you and I could probably talk for 3 days about all the different things that businesses need to do. But we kind of decided to focus on video. So let's kind of move into talking about video and how a business can add video into their marketing mix, and whether it's an individual, you know, a professional that's selling their services, or a local business that would be kind of using video to drive traffic and sales for their entity. Where would you like to start talking about that?
Well, you know, let's come up with an example. Give me an example of a local business, and let's talk about ways that they could use video.
That'd be great. I've got one that I think, one I'm thinking about using video for, see if you agree with me, is a local company that sells handmade Native American products and some actual antique Native American products and you know, old war bonnets and old, old, you know, old headdresses and old guns and tomahawks and all of that.
So products are just too easy because literally, you just grab, the people want to, for a product like that too, you have people who are really into that niche and, you know, it's a very specialty item and people are into that and they want to hear stories. I mean, they have other places they can go shop online, but they want to, you want to get them into your store, right? So how do you get them into your store is you start telling a story of who you are and the story of your store. So you stick the camera on yourself and you say, hey, I'm Jim who owns the, you know, this whatever store.com, and I'm right over here on East 9th and Ontario Street. And, you know, I wanted to introduce you to me and tell you about my store. Let's take a quick tour of my store. And you walk through the store and you talk about the products that you have, you know, and you check back on my website or my blog later and I'll be featuring some of the items I have. I mean, it's too easy. I mean, you really just need to introduce yourself. And then that person's going to be like, wow, I actually kind of feel like I know that person. I need to go to the store. And when they come into the store, they're going to see you, and they're going to go, there he is. I know that guy. And they're going to feel more comfortable, and they're going to feel like they can walk up to you and start talking to you. And that's when you have a friendship, and that's when you have a connection, and that's when you have a powerful sales and customer right there because they feel like they already know you. It happens to me all the time. All the videos that I do on my website, people call me up for consulting gigs and they say, well, Jim, I feel like I've known you for a year because I've been watching you every day for a year. You know, they feel like they're already friends with me. And that is a huge thing to overcome. And that's part of the reason why they want to do business with you because you know what you're talking about and they feel like they're friends with you. So the second thing you can do is, you have Indian jewelry. Why aren't you, you know, taking the video and say, okay, today we're going to talk about Indian headdress jewelry or Indian neck jewelry. And here's all the neck jewelry we have. Pull them out of the case, put them on, talk about them, take the next one off, put another one on, show how they look on a person. I mean, it's really just, and it's not even have to be fancy either. Just have somebody hold the camera and talk about it. I mean, the best way to describe this is right now, if you're scared about doing video and doing what I just described, you do it every single day. Every time someone walks into your store and says, hey, can you tell me about this Indian necklace? And what do? You answer the question, right? Why couldn't you look into a camera and do the exact same thing?
It's so obvious to you and I. It's always kind of fun to explain those things to a client. Well, let's try a different industry. Let's say someone who sells health insurance.
Health insurance. So the toughest thing about health insurance is that people are really confused, right? So when you go into things where people are confused about, I know when I go to buy health insurance, I'm always like, oh, this is confusing to me. I don't know what to do. So you make educational videos. Anytime you have a topic like finance or anything that confuses people, who most of the people who buy healthcare are probably confused. So you make an educational video series, a three-part video series on the top 10 ways to buy healthcare, or the top 10 healthcare plans to comparison plans, right? use your expertise. I mean, if you know, if your business is healthcare and you know all about healthcare, why can't you talk on camera about your expertise and just package it in a way that's going to help somebody say, wow, that guy really knows a lot about healthcare. I should probably call him because he probably can just hook me up and solve my problem right away. So let's get back to the basic core reason why everyone comes to the internet. People come to the internet for two reasons and two reasons only: to have a problem solved or to have fun. That's it. I defy you to give me any other reason why anyone comes to the internet. And if you can combine those two things, you're Gary Vaynerchuk. But if somebody comes to the internet, they want to find out how to get information about getting a new healthcare package. Where are they going to look? They're going to get this video, and it's going to be from you, and it's going to say, I'm the expert. I know all about getting healthcare. Here's 2 minutes of me talking about what kind of plan you should choose that's best for your family. And then at the end of the video or during the video, it's got your phone number on the video right there. That's powerful.
Yeah, it certainly is. It certainly is. Any time you can create that connection, show yourself off as being the expert, that certainly moves you closer to, you know, answering their concerns and questions and becoming that trusted friend and trusted advisor that we all want to be with our to our customers. George, now, did you have a question for Jim?
Yeah. Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Very good. Jim, I've got a question from the kind of other side of the coin of the benefits of using video to market. I've got experience with traffic guys and those sorts of services, and I just wanted to ask you how you'd go about getting these videos distributed to your audience. Could you give us some tips on that for our people?
So my philosophy on that is, you know, I think that when you should make a video, the first thing that you need to do when you make the video is make sure that your branding is in the video. So, you know, your phone number or your website address or your email or whatever should be in the video, either on the video the whole time or at the end especially. So my strategy is this. So I have my brand on the video. Then I use something like Traffic Geyser or TubeMogul, and I upload it to as many places as I possibly can, simply for the fact that I know not everyone goes to YouTube. You know, there are people who like the Vidler community. You know, not many, but there are people out there. So my strategy is simply to just get eyeballs. But my strategy is to drive traffic back to my website or my brand or get sales calls. That's all there is. That's the only reason that I'm in this, is because I want to drive people back to one central location, because I'm never going to be able to determine a return on investment on these videos if I just, you know, hoping that people watch them and contact me through Vidler. I'm never going to know. So I want to get them back to my website. So what you need to do is focus on driving traffic back to your website or your blog, and then once they get there, you should have all the things there, like your RSS subscription, your email newsletter sign up. And then, because you don't want to waste it. I mean, they're customers now, or they're readers, and you want them in, and you want to grab them. So distribute them everywhere. Why not? I mean, there's no penalty right now for distributing your videos everywhere. In the future, Google and YouTube may decide that, you know what, we really don't like the fact that you're distributing to multiple places, but right now they don't care.
Right. Yeah, the great thing with online video is that it does get indexed a lot faster by the search engines, and for a small local business, like Doug said, you know, maybe a small store in a town somewhere, it's usually very easy to get those videos indexed on those sorts of long-tail keywords. For example, like plumber in Billings, Montana.
Well,
is quite,
there's a reason
quite
for
a low
that.
Competition search. Yeah.
There's a reason for that, and that's because nobody's doing video right now. So if you're listening to this right now, and you're like, oh, man, I don't want to get into video, you're really dropping the ball, because here's the thing. Nobody is doing it. Your competitors aren't doing it, and you're not doing it. So here's what I suggest you do. Go to YouTube right now and do a search for your highest rated keyword, you know, of your business. What is it? If you make chairs, if you fix chairs, do desk chair repair or whatever. And look and see how many professional business type videos are on YouTube. I'm going to guarantee you that you're probably only going to have, you know, 40 videos show up or less, and I bet you 99% of the time none of them are going to be done by anyone who's selling a product. So nobody's doing video right now, so it's wide open. It's wide open. If you can go out and create somewhat informative, entertaining, fun videos that have your brand on them, you are going to kick your competitors' butts because you are going to have this collection of videos 6 months from now that they're not going to have, and they're going to be playing catch-up.
The beautiful thing about distributing to all the different using TubeMogul or Trafficizer to distribute is you end up holding, I mean, I've had clients, we've got 15 of the top 20 spots for months. So all people find when they go there is us. So that's a beautiful thing about it. And that's even in, you know, national, you know, it's not very competitive arenas, but, you know, we're there when we're holding all the spots. And that's what's great about it. You want to have your message showing up as much as possible. But what would you say the costs are to get set up for somebody? I know everyone out there is thinking, geez, I don't want to spend, you know, $5,000 on a camera and I don't have all this money. Well, I know in your online video toolkit you go over it, but I thought you could run through, give people an idea of what the costs are involved just right now.
Well, the reason I made the onlinevideotoolkit.com is because I wanted to prove to everybody out there who said that they couldn't get into online video that it wasn't expensive and it was pretty easy to do. So the camera I'm using is a $150 little camera, and I have a $50 light from Home Depot, and I have another piece of editing software that I paid for that was a little more expensive, but there are free ones out there. So literally, you could get into this for $200, and you can start making decent quality videos that are going to drive revenue and leads and ROI for your business and publicity. So it's really not that expensive. I mean, to do it, that's why the toolkit's great, because it teaches you all the tricks on how to get it done without spending all the money. Now, you can also go out and get a $5,000 camera and a $3,000 light set. If you have the money, I suggest you do it. You know, go out there and do it right from the beginning. Why not?
That's right. That's right. But so many people out there aren't sold on it yet, and I mean, you want to get into it as inexpensively as possible, and this is a great way to do it. Prove it. Prove the concept. Prove that it works for you and your industry. We all believe, I think all three of us believe, that video, it will work for almost any business out there. But if you don't believe it, you can go out and just get the low-end equipment and get it going and still look good. I mean, there's an obvious difference between how it looks, how the presentation is, but if you get the lighting right and you get a good understanding of what you're supposed to be doing, it's still good enough. I mean, I tell some of my clients that we live in a reality TV world now. We don't want scripted, things that are too highly scripted. We want to be able to get to know people. And that's one thing that you can, you know, that's what you talked before about it, is creating that relationship between the store owner and the customer. I think that's really what today's marketing is becoming more and more about. As ironic as that is, the more disconnected we get face to face, the more connected we get online. It's kind of interesting the way that works. Well, let's talk about the elements of a good video. I mean, you talked about it a little bit, but let's talk about the elements of what you need to put into a good video to really drive them back to your website and drive sales.
So, number one, let's talk about sound. This is the number one tip that you need to know. If you have bad sound, no one will watch your video. I don't care if it's the prettiest video in the world. So you have to have good sound. And when you're using inexpensive equipment like the camera I'm using that I recommend, I give you the tips for how to have good sound with that, which is, you know, get rid of all the background noises, make sure you're in a controlled environment where there's no, you know, ambulances and things. Because when you have inexpensive equipment, you can't control the sound as well. It's just the microphone's just not that great. So sound is extremely important. So you have to make sure, if you don't have good sound, no one will ever watch your video, no matter how good the content is. So the next thing you need to do is make sure that you're just creating videos that either entertain people or solve people's problems. So it can look bad, but if somebody gets value from it, they don't care. I mean, the expectations right now are really low, as you were just saying. If you go on YouTube and look around, there's not too many, you know, amazing quality videos out there. Nobody's going to be going, wow, you stink, you didn't make a high-quality video, I'll never do business with you. That's not what the attitude is. Now, that may be different in 4 years from now. People may have a higher expectation, but right now it's not. So it's just a matter of, you know, putting the camera in front of yourself and making a quality video that solves people's problems or that entertains them. And that's how you'll have a steps to a successful video.
Right, and then make sure that you're providing something in the video that that drives them to your website.
Oh, right. Always. Yeah, that's another golden rule. You got to have people driving to your brand. Otherwise, why are you doing it?
Right. Whether that's a call to action to go to the website for more videos or for something else, you can do that both in the description box and in the video itself. By at least have to have your web address in there. But it kind of goes back to, you know, writing sales copy. You need to have that reason, the reason why they'd buy from you and where they can buy from you, and as well as entertaining them along the way.
Right.
Let's see, what other, now sound is very important. What other tips would you like to toss out here? We've got 13 minutes left, so we've got plenty of time left here. What other tips would you like to talk about? Now, lighting, well, that's not an easy one to talk about on the phone, but I know lighting is very important, and that's something that a lot of us get wrong, is the lighting.
The lighting is a little bit difficult. But once you learn, if you watch the video I have, it tells you how to get over that. I mean, it took me a while to figure it out on my own, but you know, you can light a room very nicely with a $50 light from Home Depot. You just have to know how to position the light in the room. You know, the best thing to do is really just, you know, get in a place where you have natural light. Sunlight is the best thing for inexpensive cameras. Sunlight works the best. So if you just have a nice place where in your home that's got some nice sun and you can control like the sun with some blinds, you can get a really nice look on your videos. But don't sweat the lighting thing so much. I mean, you'll figure it out over time. An overhead light in your office may work just as fine as having a Home Depot light. You know, the reason I use the Home Depot light is because I don't have overhead lighting, and I don't have a window in my office because I'm in the middle of a building. So I have to create my own light.
Makes a lot of sense. You had a question come in. You kind of answered this one before, but we'll touch on it again. How do you overcome the fear of being on camera? How would you recommend somebody get over that?
Right. So what I tell people is, you know, you look how you look. You need to get over the fact that you think you look different on camera. It's your problem. I'm being very blunt here, and I have to put this into your head here. You are the one with the issue of how you look on camera. I just did a photo shoot this morning, and, you know, I've done 50 photo shoots and 100 video shoots professionally. And sometimes still when I look at the photos, like I looked at the photos today, and they're really professional photos, but I still think I look, you know, I still think I need to lose 50 pounds, and I still think I look horrible, right? But that's how I look. When everyone sees me, customers, everyone, every day, that's how I look. So I had to get over the fact that I thought I looked weird, because I didn't. I look normal to everybody who normally sees me. So it's really a self-conscious problem. You know, don't worry about how you look, because that's how you look, and that's how you look every day in business. So once you get over that and you realize, you know, that's just what it is, you just got to do it. You got to put yourself in front of the camera and just practice. You know, turn the camera on and just talk to the camera. You know, I mean, imagine the camera is a customer. If somebody walked into your store or your office and said, hey, Susie, please tell me a little bit more about this Indian necklace that you've had. Look into the camera and answer that question. And just do it. You don't have to show the video to anyone if you don't want it first. Just record it and watch it back and see how it looks. And you'll get used to it over time.
Yeah, you do, and that's similar to what I'll tell my local clients with even with blogging is when they have it when they have trouble, you know, trouble writing for their blog. It's like, well, you answer questions every day, so if you need something to get you started, just answer questions. It's
Why do you
the
think
same
so many
thing.
great blogs are like AskDaveTaylor.com, who's a friend of mine who has thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of just answers to questions? And he doesn't know everything, but people ask him questions. He goes on the web and he researches them and he writes answers. That's his entire business. And he loads the site up with ads and makes a ton of money. Another friend of mine, AskTheBuilder.com, Tim Carter, answers questions about what he knows. He knows he's the Bob Vila of the internet. He knows how to fix gutters and put a fence up at your house and put plumbing in. People ask him questions and he answers them in video and text form. If you can't answer questions about your business, I don't know what you're doing in that business.
That's right. Whether you're talking on video or typing it, I mean, that's you have to understand. You do. I mean, any small business owner, any business owner out there understands their business, or else they couldn't be in it. And I would say that they understand it better than they believe themselves that they understand it. Something about turning on a camera or having to put it in writing that makes it a scary thing for so many of them, for so many. Another question. Someone was asking about the structure of a video, like their references to like this timeline you'd want to put in for a sales video. Like, what should you do first, second, third?
So a real popular format is go over to AskTheBuilder.com and watch some of Tim's videos.
Okay.
Tim has a really great format. Tim comes in and he says, "Hi, I'm Tim Carter from Ask the Builder, and have you ever wondered about how to install gutters on your house? Well, I've done it before, and I'm going to show you how to do it. In 30 seconds, I'll be right back." And then he loads a little 30-second little animation intro of his show that says, "I'm Tim, Tim Carter." And then he comes back and he says, "Welcome back. All right, here we are on top of the roof, and now we're going to put this gutter in, and here's step one." And then he does the whole thing and he wraps it up and he says, "Thanks for watching. I hope you learned how to install gutters on your house. If you have any questions, please visit AskTheBuilder.com and subscribe to my newsletter list," right? That's a perfect video right there because he leads in with a problem that somebody's looking for. He solves the problem, and then he gives his brand away and his information at the end. That's really solid gold right there. If you can do that, if you can put that format together, you're going to be very successful.
That's great. Well, and it's just like that's a great way to do that, actually. Another would be
It
a
is. Watch Tim's. Go watch Tim's videos. He is amazing, and he just the videos are just unbelievable. And guess what? YouTube loves him beyond belief because he makes high quality in terms of because he uses professional equipment. He's high quality content and high quality video in terms of the equipment he uses. He could get away with doing it with low quality equipment. It would still be just as good. But YouTube is killing for his content. They want more people like that because that's why Google works, because they deliver the best, most relevant, high quality results. And YouTube's not going to be any different. When somebody searches on YouTube and Google Universal Search down the road, and there's a choice between 4,000 videos about plumbing, and YouTube's going to look and see which one most relevant and the most best produced and solves the problem the most, and they're going to display that one first. I don't care what anyone says. YouTube looks at the videos. I know this for a fact from somebody high up at YouTube. They look at the partner videos, and they will give preference to the videos that are solving problems and are in that format over, somebody who's just got some junky video with bad sound in his basement trying to fix some pipes or something. So it's very important to do a video in the right way. Now, don't be intimidated. Go out there and just make a couple now. You don't write scripts. Don't do any of that stuff. Turn on the camera, look at it, and just start and say, "Hey, it's Sophie from XYZJewelry.com. thanks for coming back and watching this video. Today I'm going to talk about Indian necklace jewelry. And here's one of my favorite Indian necklace jewelries. And I read about this in a book in 2002, so I went out and found it. It's from one of my favorite designers from the Navajo tribe. And here's I'm going to put it on right now. It's very light. I love the colors of it. You know, I have customers, you know, and that's it. That's it.
Yeah, definitely. That's all you need to do is keep it simple, just like you're talking to somebody face-to-face, and, you know, share the information you'd normally share. Probably another, and he doesn't quite do the agitate, but following the old problem agitate solution format in a video would work as well. It's like a following a sales letter format. Tell people
sure.
what they're talk about what their issue is, stir it up a little bit, and then provide the solution in the video, and then a call to action back to your website.
Something I'm getting into recently a lot more is screencast, too. I'm using a Camtasia software, which is $150, and that's a great way to show people how you do stuff. So, if, like, you know, like I'm creating videos now that show people how to edit videos, and they can actually see what I'm doing on the screen. And that's very powerful. Like, if you have software or anything that, you know, it's done on the screen that you want to record the actions on the screen, people love that stuff. And here's a little tip for you. There's tons of that stuff on YouTube. If you ever want to figure out how to do something, like edit video using a piece of software or any of that stuff, go to YouTube and do a search for whatever it is, how to set up a fish tank. And there's usually like hundreds, if not thousands of videos of amateur people who just said, oh, here's how I set up my saltwater tank, and they'll walk you through it step by step. There's tons of that stuff out there. People love it.
They do. Well, you know, how-to is like the number one search thing on the – how-to anything is one of the number one searches online. I mean, it's – and people want to figure out anything, how to do absolutely everything out there.
Well, yeah, it goes back to my theory that Tim Carter, my friend, told me, you come to the reason for internet for two reasons only, to have a problem solved or to have fun. And the how-to is to have a problem solved. So if you can make your video fun as well as solving a problem, then you hit the jackpot. So if you can be entertaining and solve a problem at the same time, then you're going to be super successful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. George, we've got 2 minutes relating. George, do you have any questions for Jim as we start to wrap things up here?
Yeah.
I've got to catch you off guard.
Yeah, one quick question. I know this is going to be a huge answer, but I mean, if we just try and keep it quick, what one action step could you suggest for small business owners now to take with online video in their business? If they could do one thing like today.
Great question, and I love wrapping up this way, okay? So the first thing you have to do is go out and get a camera. Go to Best Buy today or go someplace and buy one of these inexpensive little video cameras that I recommend, the Flip. And I have a site where you can buy them too. So go there, buy a camera. It's $180 or $150 and get it. Turn it on yourself. And just record a video. Just come up with one. What's the number one question you get asked by your customers every day? You got to have that answer to that question because you answer it three times a day probably. Turn on the camera and say, hey, it's Jim from xyzsoftware.com. The number one question I get asked three times a day is this, and here's my answer. And just record that video to the camera and then play it back, watch yourself, maybe play with the lighting, figure out how it looks the best, make sure you're getting good sound, and then that's it. And then look at it, and then you'll be over the hump. You'll be like, wow, that really wasn't so hard. And once you do that, you can move on to starting to make more.
Yeah, I guess the first video is going to be the hardest, and then after that it gets easier and easier as you get used to it and you get more comfortable in front of the camera.
It's the whole Nike theory. If you don't just do it, you are never going to do it. You have to just do it. So what I try to do is make sure that people understand how important it is to just do it. So you just got to go out and do it because here's the thing. I love to tell people this. Your competitors aren't doing it yet, and you are going to kick their butt if you do it.
Yeah, you are gonna control the search here, the search online. That's what you're gonna do, and provide, really build that relationship. Well, we've got, I'm at the last 20 seconds here. I want to thank you,
okay,
Jim.
Do you have a website to go to? Sorry. Have we got Jim's website here?
Very quickly. Onlinevideotoolkit.com. You can also go to jimkukrol.com as well. So he's got a great blog there. And thank you once again, Jim. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Jim. Been a great call.
Thank you. Well, now, they stopped recording this. Now, they stopped 2 seconds ago. So I apologize for the mix-up, Jim. I did send you an email yesterday when I realized I sent you the host number. But
I tried to call, and they said, nah.
When I was first making my calls, I sent out my announcements to everybody, and I had that in there by accident because my Instantel seminar account, to be able to hear the people, that's what you did, is you sent them the host information. And I figured that out on my first call, and I thought that I'd caught you up before, and then I'm like, I looked last night and went, oh, no. So I sent it to you last night. But, yeah, George and I were kind of punting until I saw your email, just talking about, you know, what to do during these uncertain times. So I do apologize for the mix-up there. And
no problem. It was great to be on. Thanks.
Yeah, this is a pleasure. And really, I have enjoyed checking out your website and I've signed up for your RSS feed, and I've really enjoyed learning more about you as well. These calls have been a lot of fun.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to help.
Thanks very much. Well, it's been a pleasure.
All right, guys. Thanks. I'm gonna head out.
Okay. All right. You take care, Jim.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. Okay. Thanks, Jim. Right. Take care, Mike. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
George, people aren't listening. It's not streaming online right now, and nobody's on the